We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hour number two, late night right here at Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Continuing our Red Sox discussion as the Red Sox, they simply waste a magnificent performance from Chris Sale today. And, you know, what a turnaround from Sale over his last three starts as compared to what he was to start the season through his first handful of games, really putting to bed that narrative that maybe the Red Sox made a mistake with that five-year, $145 million deal. I'm not ready to put that narrative completely to bed yet, because the real proof will be what Chris Sale becomes, what he turns into, sometime after mid-July, right? Because that's when you start hearing about the inflammation in the shoulder. That's when you start hearing about the tenderness of the elbow. And that's historically when he starts to break down physically a little bit here. But again, that's why the Red Sox did what they did throughout spring training and really took a different approach. And I hate to say, you know, to simplify it here, but they really did a simple, stupid approach here where, okay, if we want this guy to be healthy later into the season, let's start him later in the season. Let's amp up and ramp up his work later in the year. Instead of doing it in early February, let's really ramp him up late April. And you would think in theory there, by doing that, you buy yourself, I don't know, an additional two and a half months on the back end. In theory, that's the idea. We'll see if it actually pans out later on this season. So we're talking about that with you guys. Also, working in some thoughts about Craig Kimbrel, because again, I think tonight really highlights the fact that this team misses Kimbrel. They do. You know, they've done a nice job overcoming the loss of Kimbrel, overcoming the loss of the guy who's been the best closer in baseball over the last few years. That's a large loss to overcome, especially when you don't replace him. All you're doing is shuffling the chairs on the deck around and hoping that somebody's able to step up and take on that role. And you know what? Ryan Brazier, he's been pretty good. He's been okay. Workman, he's been okay. The back end of the bullpen has not been this devastating experiment that I thought they might be. However, it is still a glaring weakness, and that glaring weakness is highlighted tonight. And what really sucks and what keeps the conversation going is the fact that Kimbrel's still out there. And while I totally get why the Red Sox, who are up against the luxury tax, I totally get why they sort of said, you know what, we can't do this when he was looking for 6 years. $80 million. Last year, the rumors were it was 6 years, $100 million. That 100 quickly turned to 80. The 80 turned to 70. The 6 years turned to 5. And now, today, reports are he'd be happy to accept 3 years with an average annual value of somewhere between $13 and $17 million. If that report is true, I think the Boston Red Sox owe it to you, owe it to me, and owe it to themselves to give themselves the best opportunity to win another World Series. And they really, in my opinion, they increase those odds, increase those chances, I don't know, when you add the best closer in baseball to the back end of your bullpen. So we're talking about that with you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Also start to work in some of your Bruins thoughts, as the Bruins, they are now just one game away from getting back to the Stanley Cup Finals. And the Celtics, I mean, not for nothing, but the NBA draft lottery was tonight. And those of you that remember the Tim Duncan year, the year that ML Carr was here, the year that the Celtics purposely lost basketball games with the thought of getting Tim Duncan, bringing in Rick Pitino, pairing Pitino with Duncan, and really turning around the franchise. That was a heartbreaking night because it was oh so close to pulling this thing off, and then the Celtics become, what, the Spurs over the last 25 years? But it didn't happen. And tonight, reports out of the NBA lottery are that the Celtics, the way this thing works is that you get four balls, and it's a combination of four. And the Celtics had the first three that would have got them the number four pick in the draft. they didn't get the fourth ball, and because they didn't get the fourth ball, by the way, they were one of three teams to be in this position where first number comes up, second number comes up, third number comes up. Now it's the Celtics and two other teams. The fourth number doesn't come up, and they jump from fourth in the draft to 14th in the draft. So now the Celtics with 14, 20, and 22, I believe, top of my head, in this year's draft. And Terry Rozier making the TV rounds this morning, doing the ESPN thing, making
NBA
a complete
special
ass out of himself. And really, the thing that I take from the Rozier comments, and we'll get into this coming up in a little while on the program, but just something to think about here, is while Rozier was out there essentially trying to defend himself, right, and make excuses for why he had a bad year, and putting a lot of the blame on Kyrie Irving, the one thing, the one takeaway that I think has some credence and credibility is the way that he talked about the locker room, the way that he talked about the atmosphere, the way that he talked about this sort of disconnect that was there all year long. I don't blame that entirely on Kyrie Irving. Kyrie may have been the source of that discord and disconnect and angst, but the guy who's getting paid the big money to, I don't know, fix that is Brad Stevens. So where does Brad fall here in sort of the responsibility pie? We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later in the program. And I got a feeling that essentially as we go on here in the offseason and more Celtics players, I don't know, decide that they're not going to come back here, they're going to go elsewhere as they're on their free agent tours or as they're putting themselves in a position to be traded, we're going to hear more and more about just how toxic the Celtics locker room was this year. And that's a worry for me because if the fact is that in any NBA locker room, there's going to be issues, there's going to be fights, there's going to be disconnects, there's going to be at some point in the season a lot of angst in that locker room. Over the course of 82 games, it happens to even the best of these teams. How many times this year do we hear about issues with Golden State, with Kevin Durant, with their head coach, with Draymond Green? I mean, these things happen to the best of them. But the good teams that are led by great communicators, they're able to overcome these obstacles. They're able to still put it together and fly on the same plane towards the same goal. And that's what the Celtics were simply unable to do this year. So we'll mix in some of those thoughts with you guys tonight as we move along here on Sports Radio WEI. Until then, let's get back to these calls. Let's go to Blair. Blair is in Maine. Blair, you're next up here on Sports Radio WEI.
Man, did you see that home run by Nolan Arenado right on the target, right? The bat?
Unbelievable.
Man, it went right in the Green Monster seat.
I did see it.
My man Nolan, man.
So you're a fan of his, huh?
Yeah, I love him. I got my shirt on right now. My Rockies 28, Colorado Rockies, baby.
So hold on. Blair, the Patriots fan, is also Blair, the Rockies fan?
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, I've been a Rockies fan, and I got to go, actually, when I lived in California and stuff, I still go see. Hey,
last time
get that buzzer right out, bro.
Hey, listen, Blair, you got to be careful.
Get that buzzer out, man.
You got to tread lightly,
my
though.
My man Nolan is a stud. He has 6 gold gloves, and you're going to pull that buzzer on
Blair,
me.
Blair, you're my friend. You're my buddy here, so I'm just going to give you some words of wisdom. You got to be a little careful and tread lightly. Last time you declared your allegiance to a team that wasn't a New England team, wasn't a Boston team, you got kicked off the big jab, and that was devastating for you. I don't want to see it happen again.
Those guys are weak on the PM jab.
All right. I'm gonna make sure they get that sound, Blair. I'm gonna send it right up to my friends at the jab.
Oh, don't.
What else you got, brother?
No, they're weak because they hung up on me today.
Oh, what a tragedy.
Uh-huh.
What a tragedy.
Do I have to do what they are?
Blair, how's one
exactly.
One question real quick. How is the training going?
Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, good. So it's what, in June, the Special Olympics?
They canceled the regionals.
What does that mean, they canceled the regionals?
Well, they actually didn't. My bad. They ended up having it, but we couldn't go because everybody's got, like, their own, like, taxi rides, all that. You know, they all get there by blah, 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 this and that. So apparently, I mean, we could have all gone, but yeah, there's a big, I don't want to explain it on the radio. I would explain it over the phone with you.
Well, hold on, Blair. What is the just big picture it for me. The fact that you didn't get to regionals, what does that mean as far as your ability to compete in the Special Olympics? Are you still in?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm still going to Orono.
Good. That's all I care about.
My times are in. My times for my running are in.
So what's the distance and what's the time? What would you do?
12 point something seconds, 6 point something seconds. I got some good times to go against a runner that's going to have the same time as me for running.
And when does this take place, Blair?
June 7th, 8th, and 9th up at the University of Orono, which is the University of Maine, Black Bears.
Awesome.
At their football stadium, which is where they host their track events, you know, for the up the football field over there, the track.
Now, let's just hypothetically,
you know,
Blair.
The softball and doing the relay and.
But Blair,
you know,
if you win,
stuff like that.
If you win, like an event, is that the end of it for you?
A gold medal. You get like a medal, the thing that goes around your neck, the gold, like the medals.
Okay, but do you go on to like another round somewhere else? Does it?
No.
So this is it. This is the big event.
Yeah, this is a big one. That's why I want to win a race and win softball throws, like get second place at least, or first.
All right, second place is the first loser, Blair.
Tell you the truth, Patrick.
Yes.
Tell you the truth, there's some really, really good athletes, a ton of them. I'm going to have to go against some really good competition. So it's gonna. If you go, you're gonna see some really good competition out there.
No, I'm gonna. I'm gonna do my best, and I'm gonna be supporting you, Blair.
Patrick.
Yeah, what do you got?
Let me talk about some things. You know, my man Nolan. I really know him in person. I talked to him last time they played the Cubs in the playoffs last year. I was on the phone through his dad, and I got to talk to him a few seconds. I'm real proud of that guy for hitting a home run off of Chris Sill. That was really hard for him to do, I bet. You know, it's really hard when he's throwing 95 miles per hour.
Yep.
You know, Chris Sale's not easy to pitch where he's pitching, and it's 95, right?
Hey, Blair, what's the connection? How do you know his family and his dad? How'd that happen?
I know his dad. I know his two brothers. You know, his one brother is in the minor leagues where he plays against the Sea Dogs for the minor league team for the double-A team.
Yeah, up in Portland.
The Giants.
Yep.
He's going to play in Portland. I'm maybe going to get to go. I'm hoping.
Oh, that's awesome.
His brother can hook me up with tickets to go watch him. And his brother, it's going to be on the Giants eventually.
That's awesome.
And his other brother, or his cousin, actually, Josh Fuentes, plays for the Rockies now, but he's in the AAA right now.
Well, listen.
Was brought up, and then they ended up sending him back to AAA.
Blair, listen, man, great stuff as always. I appreciate it. I'm up against the break here. You're always welcome on this program, and I am. I don't know if I can make it up there. You know that I work my ass off here. I travel for the real job. I'm going to travel so much next week, I won't be here at all, and I know that people are very sad about the fact that I'll be gone from Sunday to Thursday next week, and I don't know who will be in here, but it won't be me. But I'm trying to work my schedule around so I can at least attend one of those days and support you, Blair. I think Special Olympics, it's like, no, we have our fun with Blair, but to me, that's awesome. The kid's doing the Special Olympics. He got his new pair of kicks. He's training out there. Like, I'm super proud of this guy for putting himself out there and trying to win that gold medal. And I get disappointed when he says, you know, second place. I don't want him to go into this thing with the mentality of second place. If he wins second place, awesome. Bravo, good for you. That's such a great achievement.
If you ain't first, you're last.
That's right. Second place is the first loser. That's how you have to go into these things. At the end, if you worked your ass off, you finished top three, you'll always be proud of that moment. But you got to go into these things with the mentality that you are going to win because you are Blair. You are Blair from Maine, Blair the Patriots fan. There is nobody that is going to mess with you, Blair. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab one more before the break here. Let's go to Thomas. Thomas is in California. Tom, you next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick.
What's happening, Blair?
Let me take you off speakerphone.
Yeah.
Hey, you're making a lot of great points, and it's kind of a gift. You've got a really great topic tonight regarding Kimbrel.
Yeah, it is a gift, and I appreciate that gift once in a while. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's room service, as Roger would say.
What's
okay.
up?
All right. So is it not just money with Kimbrel? Because I thought one of the issues was his role and that he was either hesitant or unwilling or not in favor of doing two winning saves. And if you think about it, tonight would have been one. And then this year we also have at least three teams in the division alone, right? Where compared to a year ago, it was just pulling away from the Yankees, you know, every week. So you've got Tampa Bay, you've got New York, you've got Boston. And then, you know, this weekend series is another example. So you might have a scenario where you might need him to, or be tempted to use him, you know, three times every 2 weeks and a two-inning save. Is he willing? Do you think he may be willing to do that? I think that's an issue.
So is it an issue? Yeah, it's always been kind of an issue. He does it, you know, he does it begrudgingly when he's asked to do it, but it's sort of an unwritten rule there. And everybody that's amongst management of the Red Sox, they know that in a perfect world, they don't want to use him in that right. capacity. They've had to use him in that capacity. He doesn't thrive in that capacity. I sort of compare it to what the Celtics have been forced to do with Al Horford. When Horford first got here, he was adamant he did not want to play center. He's not comfortable at center. It's not what he wants to do. But Brad's had to slide him over to play center because that's what you do if you're a member of a team. And I think both Horford and Kimbrel have been good teammates and done what they need to do. But the issue why he's not here is 1,000% money. The Red Sox have, you know, they've spent some money irresponsibly over the years. And because of the dead money they have on the books, they are right up at that luxury tax threshold where the penalty is essentially for every dollar you spend over the luxury tax threshold, you got to pay $2 to Major League Baseball. So if a player costs a buck, now he costs $3. You know what I mean? So that's,
no, I hear you.
That's the penalty that the Red Sox were facing. And if you're talking about an $80 million deal or $100 million deal, $100 million becomes $300 million. You can't absorb that. I don't care how much money you print at Fenway. But the 6 years that he was commanding, $80 million, $100 million he was asking for, I mean, today's reports are he's looking for 3 years, $13 to $17 million a year. Now he's coming back down to a place where I think the Red Sox, if they get creative with their salary, they've got to do their due diligence and do everything in their power to bring him back. Otherwise, you know, their Workman's been okay. Brazier's been okay. But I don't know if okay gets it done come the postseason. And we know what the Red Sox situation is with a lot of their better players. They're coming up against potential free agency. There's going to be some movement here next year. They've got a shot to repeat as champions this year. And then things change pretty drastically next year. So if I were the Red Sox, I would try to capitalize on this window while you still can.
No, I'm with you. You know, maybe another point on the pro side is that last year they also put him in the opposite situation where he had non-save opportunities, which, you know, he doesn't do well in. And this year, with the so far the closer by committee, I think that would help him out, right? So then he'd really just be used in safe situations. So
no, you're right.
See what happens.
You're right. And yeah. I think the Red Sox, listen, I appreciate the phone call. I think the Red Sox can sort of take, let's say hypothetically, they brought him in this weekend. They signed him to a one-year deal, and he's here and available this weekend. I think the benefit here is because of the closer by committee type situation they put themselves in this year. Everybody's sort of gotten comfortable in their roles, meaning, you know, they've learned something about each and every member of this bullpen. They've been able to show you things that maybe you wouldn't have seen before. Now you've got confidence in these guys' ability to maybe carve out that eighth inning role where before you weren't comfortable with that. Or if it's a non-save situation, you know, maybe that's Brazier's role now, or maybe it's Workman's role because they've earned it. They put themselves in a position where you've got more faith and confidence in their ability to come through, where going into the season, they were more question marks than they were answers. So I think it will be the perfect marriage if you bring him in right now, because everybody's got that experience that they wouldn't have had Kimbrel been here all along. So again, you know, you've got three teams right now out there talking about potentially bringing Kimbrel in. And now that the years are cut in half and the money is cut in half, I want to see the Red Sox as a part of that list. I'm not comfortable with it being the Rays, the Cubs, teams like that out there potentially talking to Kimbrel about coming in. If I see him sign somewhere for 2 or 3 years at an average annual value of $13 to $17 million a year, and that place isn't Boston, to me, that is absolutely inexcusable if you're a Red Sox fan. It is Sports Radio, WEI. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I see you guys there. We'll continue this discussion. You know, a lot of blame to go around tonight. An outstanding performance goes up in smoke. Chris Sale dominant. We blame Cora. I mean, Cora should have, would have, could have put him back out there for the eighth, decided not to, played it safe. Ultimately, that may have cost the Red Sox the game. And when you see Kimbrel out there just kind of waiting for a job, does it make you a little bit sick when you see guys like Workman and Ryan Brazier struggling to get the job done, knowing that the guy that was yours, the best closer in baseball, is literally in your own backyard. He still lives in Boston. waiting for a phone call. Talk about that and start to mix in some Terry Rozier stuff as well. When we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI. See, that's a kind of an inside joke there, Joe, because we went to break and everything sounded seemingly normal to the tens of thousands of people out there in our listening audience. What they didn't know that was that I was battling a bloody nose as we went to break. I had blood gushing into my hands, but being the professional that I am, I was able to continue going, choking on the blood. Continuing to talk here, continuing to tease and set up for the next segment here. And luckily, my producer is good enough. He built in an extra couple of minutes of break. Go into the bathroom there, got my roll of toilet paper, and we are good to go.
That's how we do it, man.
You know what? For all these pussy athletes that aren't able to go out there and play through an injury, this is how it's done. You play through an injury, you play through the blood, and you keep it going. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Mike, did you have some sort of a trivia question for me, Joe? You've been teasing trivia for a while now.
It kind of passed. We're about 37 minutes and 51 seconds late. But the man would have turned 42 years old yesterday, okay? And he's the only pitcher in the major leagues to throw a perfect game in the regular season and a no-hitter in the postseason.
That's an easy one. It's Roy Halladay. I mean, what a sin, by the way. What a sin.
Felger's favorite.
A little bit of splat, you know, all that stuff that Felger pulled. Roy Halladay, and it's just a sin because he was a family man, he had kids, and now he's no longer here, and what a talent he was. And remember, at the end of his career, while he was winding things down, he was rumored to be connected to the Red Sox. There was a chance there, you know, before he retired that he was going to try to
hit toward third. Castro has it, spins, fires, a perfect game! Roy Halladay has thrown the second perfect game in Philadelphia Phillies history!
The real sin of that whole situation is that he won't be remembered for the great pitcher that he was. The first thing that comes to mind is the way that he died.
I know, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Not many people remember in 2K10 when he came out, he was on the cover, 2K offered $1 million to the first person to pitch a perfect game.
Oh, you got $1 million for that? I had no idea.
No. Like, the first player to pitch
perfect
game got $1 million in the game.
Unbelievable. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, Roy Halladay's birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Roy Halladay.
It was Gronk's, too, but I thought Halladay was more important.
Gronk only turned 30, and when I heard that, it made me sick to my stomach. Because when you think about an athlete at 30 years old, you don't think about an athlete that's walking away from the game. I don't care
how retired. Like
it doesn't make sense. He's 30. He should be in his prime right now, and I know he's been beat to hell. I know that, you know, he's had injury issues. I know that he's been abused on the football field. I get all of that. But then as I'm sitting there debating to myself, Gronk's only 30. He should have 4 or 5 great years left. They just signed Ben Watson, who's been out of the league for a year and is 38 years old. And they're expecting him to perform on the football field.
I feel like tight end's that position where you almost last longer, like Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez. Like, you think of Ben Watson, you think of all these guys, they didn't, like, leave till the late 30s.
But part of the reason here is I think Gronk has set his expectations for himself so high that when he took that little dip in athleticism and he was suddenly no longer able to, I don't know, reach down and get those balls that nobody else could get to or elevate a few extra inches up in the air to get those balls nobody else could get to, I think that really did a number on him. Because I'm not going to say that he was pedestrian. He was still Gronk. He still had Gronk-like moments, but he was no longer super Gronk. And I think for a guy like Ben Watson, who was a well above average, you know, pretty damn good tight end, but never considered the best at his position.
And let's be honest, the Patriots really didn't figure out how to use Gronk until later in his career, because the biggest problem they had was they kept dumping him over the middle.
Absolutely.
And he would get crushed.
Absolutely. So I was really not happy with the way that, you know, it went down when I saw that it was Gronk's birthday. He's 30 years old. I'm thinking to myself, this Patriots team has got a couple of years left with Brady, if that, where he's playing at a very high level. How can Gronk be so selfish to not want to come back and play and at least ride this thing out as long as Brady is? And then I went to 7-Eleven, and I looked at the newsstand, and I saw the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and I saw Gronk's girlfriend right there on the cover. And I thought to myself, hell, if I'm Gronk and I'm a millionaire and I don't have to get my ass beaten and I can be with that 24/7, the choice is now easy. Like, I get his motivation right now. He's going to ride that thing out for as long as he can. And when that's over, maybe he'll come back to football. But right now, have you seen his girlfriend? I mean, she is otherworldly. Like, I'm talking about, this is the type of thing that you give up the game for. She's on the cover of Sports Illustrated right now. I mean, think about that for a minute. That's why he gave up football. He wants to go spend as much quality time with her as he possibly can before the rest of his body breaks down.
Which will be very soon.
It is Sports Radio WEI. Let's grab some more calls here. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in North Providence. Mike, you're next up here on WEI. Mike, these damn phones. Let's go to Master IC while we try to get Mike back. Master, you're next up here on Sports Radio WEI. Joe, can you punch him up? Thank you.
Peace, Patrick.
What's happening?
Peace to the human family. What are we talking about tonight?
Well, you called me, my man. We're all over the place.
I called you, but I was on hold for a while. I was holding my breath.
Secretly called me.
It's not your fault.
All right, so.
It's not your fault, but please don't hold it against me if I forget what I called
for. No, it's okay. It's okay. So we've been all over the place, but a lot of stuff on Chris Sale. Dominant performance, and the Red Sox wasted it. The Red Sox wasted just a great performance by Chris Sale, and we're talking about blame. Should Cora have put Chris Sale back out there for the eighth inning? Should the Red Sox go out there and do their best to try and acquire Craig Kimbrell, who's taken his asking price, and he's cut it in half?
Patricio.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to tell you. I think I called earlier, and I said to you that I was listening to the Red Sox going through their thing, through their bad thing at the beginning of the season. I think it was in the first Seattle series. And I called in and I said, I can imagine what these people, what the typical Red Sox fan, the non-critical thinking Red Sox fan was saying at this point. This team sucks. My goodness. That's an example and a symptom of PTSD. But at that time, I said that it's a long season. It's a marathon.
Hey, Master, are you in the car right now, Master, or are you home?
I'm parked.
All right, good. Good. You sound like you're having a good night tonight. That's all. I'm going to leave it at that, but you sound like you're feeling pretty damn good.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm parked. I'm being safe. So as far as the Red Sox strategy with Chris Sale and other starting pitchers, as far as their lack of activity when it came to spring training, I feel, and I told Giuseppe earlier, your producer, that I said, you know, when it came to the idea of Strasburg with the Washington Nationals a few years ago, and they were going in hot, and they shut them down. I said, listen, I have nothing against that necessarily, but if you're going to make that decision, if that's what you're going to do, then hold him out for the beginning of the season and allow him to finish the season. It makes more sense. The ability to finish the season is much more important than starting and being a farm runner, in other words.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I think that's that's what the Red Sox tried to do this year, and they did it with more than just Chris Sale. I mean, they did it with David Price. They did it with Evalde. And now, but Price right now is out with an injury. Evalde's out with an injury. So Chris Sale's coming on at the right time because they need somebody to carry that rotation until those guys get back healthy.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that there was a value to holding them out for spring training and trying to lengthen their production.
Sure.
That's what I'm trying to say. What was the other point?
So I got a question for you real quick. I'm up against the break, but before we go, I'm going to give you a couple extra minutes. I have a question for you. We've talked about the Celtics all season long, you and I. Did you happen to catch any of Terry Rozier on TV today?
I didn't. I was listening earlier to the station.
Oh, did you hear the sound?
No, I didn't hear much of the sound. But what is your point with the question?
So like, you're a deep thinker. And Rozier went on with Stephen A. Smith.
I appreciate that.
Oh, you are. I mean, you think things through. So he went on with Stephen A. Smith, and in my opinion, not only did he sort of sound like a jackass himself because he was throwing a lot of shade and blame at Kyrie and at his teammates, but he also threw the coaching staff under the bus. But I think that was the one valid point that he made when he was talking about, you know, there was some infighting, some discord in that locker room, and there was nobody equipped on that coaching staff that was able to unify this team and bring them together. And, you know, compare it to Golden State, they've had issues with Kevin Durant, they've had issues with Steve Kerr, they've had issues with Draymond Green. But when it comes to playing on the floor together as a team, they're able to put those issues aside and do what they need to do to win. And Brad Stevens wasn't able to unify his team, at least on the court, so they could, so these issues wouldn't affect them when the games were played.
Well, I think that what was most evident, two things. First, I think what was most evident with their performance towards the end of their season was that it was selfish basketball. So we can agree on that point. I don't think Rozier was out of the orbit when he said that, hey, coaching couldn't do such. It was selfish basketball.
Yeah.
And secondly, let's not shoot the messenger, right?
Yeah.
Let's listen to the message. Let's understand what the message is that there was discord in that locker room.
Yep, there was.
There was a level of, you know, the idea is to get across to the players that team playing as a team, understanding that we all have to take, I don't know, man. I'm just saying, I'm not mad at Rozier.
Yeah, it's funny when it comes to Rozier and Master. I'm up against a break. Joe's kicking me off the air here. But when it comes to Rozier, it's funny. Because on one hand, I've heard a lot of people say that today, that they're not mad at Rozier. But Rozier went on the air today and he talked about, you know, he was the one that sacrificed the most. But then when you look at the statistics in the playoffs, no, he didn't sacrifice anything. His shooting percentage was, I believe, the third worst on the team. His usage rate was one of the highest on the teams. He wasn't sacrificing. He just wasn't capitalizing on the opportunities that were given to him. And now what he's doing is making the rounds trying to salvage this restricted free agency that he's in. Here's the thing, though. He can go out there and try to salvage it all he wants. There's got to be some bad teams, I think, that offer him some pretty good money. And I think that there's a pretty damn good chance that Kyrie Irving either winds up back here in Boston, winds up in Los Angeles, and I can't wait to see the Knicks sign him to a massive offer sheet that he doesn't deserve and completely screw up their cap for the foreseeable future. That is a real distinct possibility. Stories out of New York today are they're interested in Rozier and they're interested in Marcus Morris. If they wind up with the 3-pick Terry Rozier and Marcus Morris, that would be the most Knicks thing ever that the Knicks have ever accomplished. So listen, I see you guys there, except Mike, David, I got you guys there on the line. I'm sorry. It's been one of these shows here tonight. Okay, it has. But I see you guys there, and I promise you this. When we get back from break, I'll get to everybody here. And there's a couple of lines open for the first time tonight at 617-779-7937. Getting back to the Kimbrel thing real quick. Craig Kimbrel's out there telling people that will listen. The days of looking for 6 years, $100 million, 6 years, $80 million, that's gone. 3 years, $13 million average annual value. If the Red Sox don't go get that man after what happened tonight, I think they have failed their team, and they have failed you, the fans. We'll talk about that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
I feel like it's a little bit of both, and I feel like that along with the coaches, you know, of them treating Gordon and Kyrie, I wouldn't say different than everybody else, but, you know, I feel like they just treat them like they was on that level where there were no adjustments that could be made because they are who they are. And we never figured it out. Figured it out after that.
So there is a legitimate argument to be made there based on what was just said. I mean, Terry Rozier is out there. He's telling the truth. And, you know, I think the Celtics, we talked about this a bit last night, and we'll continue to talk about it throughout the offseason. I think they made a mistake when it comes to Gordon Hayward. I totally understand the motivation, and I think we talked about this earlier on this season where there was this theory, and I bought into it, where if you put Hayward out there for the first couple of months of the season and you overplay him, and you know, he's starting the season when he probably shouldn't be, and he's in that starting lineup when he shouldn't be, and he's playing minutes that he hasn't earned yet, and he's hurting the team more than he's helping them. The idea was, okay, you pay the price now in October, November, December, but you reap the rewards in March, April, and May. And it looked like that was going to happen towards the tail end of the regular season when he started performing consistently and driving to the basket, creating contact, finishing at the rim. looking more and more confident night in and night out. And then the playoffs came. And aside from a pretty decent first couple of games against the Pacers and a very good game four, he was abysmal. Is that Stephen A? He was.
That's Glenn.
That's Glenn. He was abysmal in that Bucks series. And, you know, he's another reason why this team lost. But I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of Rozier going out there and placing the blame on other people. And if he thinks that's a good look for him, I don't think it is. I mean, people in the NBA circles, they understand what the problems were. They're not hidden. I mean, people that observe this team night in and night out, they could see what the issues were, and the stories have been circulating around this team all season long. That's why there will be major changes made this offseason, and that's why one of those changes will be adding a former player, a veteran former player that's well-respected to this coaching staff to help bridge that gap between Brad Stevens and his players. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight, 617-779-7937. Red Sox on the table, Chris Sale on the table, Craig Kimbrell reducing his asking price when it comes to that $100 million, $80 million, not so much. $39-40 million will get it done. No longer looking for 6 years. Reports are he'll take three, and you've got multiple teams right now hot on his tails. You got the Braves, you got the Cubs, and you got the Rays. And my question is, especially after a loss like tonight, where the hell are the Red Sox? We're not talking about 6 years, $80 million anymore. 3 years, $39 million, if that gets it done for a man that lives 4 miles away from Fenway Park and the best closer in baseball the last couple of years, you got to get that done. And, of course, mixing in some Bruins and Celtics thoughts as well.
You'll look like a fool if the Rays get him.
Absolutely. And the Celtics tonight had an opportunity, and I guess the word is from the war room, the Celtics war room tonight, that the way this thing works in the lottery, the days of, you know, there being names or numbers in one of those bingo machines, those days are over. It's much more complicated than that.
It's rigged.
It is a little bit rigged, but it's sort of like the numbers game that you see on TV every night. And you pick your four numbers, and if the numbers come up, you win, right?
It's like Keno, right?
Kind of like Keno. And the Celtics, well, they match the first number. They match the second number. Reports are they even match that third number. And now they're down to three teams that have got the possibility of moving way up, 10 spaces up in the draft from 14 to 4. All they had to do was match that fourth number. And in true Celtics fashion, close but no cigar. They absolutely suck at the draft lottery. Every time they've had an opportunity to shine, they come up short. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in North Providence. Mike, you next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick. Yeah, with regards to Kimbrell, the leadoff, you know, I mean, at $17 million a year, they've been paying with the luxury tax almost $30 million for this guy. And that's why he's not here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. But they said going in, and if you read the quotes in the offseason, it was all about the fact they didn't want to do that for multiple years. Their payroll goes down a bit next year. So it's kind of short-sighted, in my opinion. If you look at it from this year's perspective, you're absolutely right. But next year, unfortunately, you're going to have big-name players that are no longer here. So that number is going to go down, and you won't be paying in that luxury tax threshold next year. So my question is, while you have all those players, isn't it worth paying double for 1 year to try and go all in and win it again?
I'm not so sure about that. Especially, you have to remember, now the time has passed by. Maybe they can get him at a prorated level, a prorated rate for this season. Maybe they're not so worried about next season. The key thing here is they didn't want to go for big years and have this massive paycheck for this year. You have to remember, I think they feel that he might be declining.
Sure.
Because his numbers have been going down for, you know, pretty steadily over the last several seasons.
Yep.
And on to move on to, you know, Terry, I mean, I told you before the season even began that, you know, you're going to be having 30 shots taken away from the guys who are on the team. There's the minutes. And that the guy I saw who was going to be suffering the most of all was going to be Terry. Because, I mean, he can't play with Kyrie, and he's better as a starter, and it's going to be a contract year. And when I saw Stephen A. Smith go and tell him that he was massively underpaid last offseason when he was on there, I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to be bad news. And it's exactly what happened. And the thing is that these are self-interested people. It's not like Danny does what's best for the players. You know, we've watched all the years, you know, his wheeling dealing.
Yep.
And these guys are representing themselves. And, I mean, Terry is just one of many who was going to have a massive problem with how this team was being run. And, you know, and with regards to the draft, I'm pretty happy about the way things went. And, you know, that whole thing about the numbers there,
yeah,
that's a mirage. If you ask a mathematician, they'll just tell you, listen, it's either the number or it's not.
Hey,
it seems like you're close, but it's not.
Look, I got a text from Mike Zarin that explained it to me, and it's worth reporting. That's how the Celtics are going to spin it. That's all. You know, it's a PR machine. You know that's what they do. And it's fun to talk about, but, you know, I think the Celtics did fine because the one goal that I wanted to have tonight, two goals, were actually achieved. Zion going number one to the Pelicans. Well, now you're removing the New York Knicks factor and their potential to trade for Anthony Davis if that's what floats your boat. So you're no longer competing with the Knicks. And, you know, they no longer have motivation to try and trade for that pick and get Zion because he's theirs to begin with. So that helps. And I like the fact that the Memphis pick got rolled over to next year and it's top six predicted, not top eight.
That's a key thing for me is the Memphis pick. And honestly, I mean, you know, I don't want to retain Kyrie. We've already talked about this yesterday. I just think it's nonsense. You know, it's like the last 2 years didn't happen. Like somehow magically his knee did not give out and cost him one postseason. His bad brain didn't cost us another one. So, I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, this guy's the supposed superstar who's got all these flaws and they magically disappear because people say he's a superstar and you magically have to pay him all this money. Even though he doesn't really deserve it, if you actually look what's going on.
Hey, Mike, so, I'm up against it. I want to ask you one thing before you go, though. So here's the thing, right? And I've been wrestling with this all season long. We've talked about it on the show. Let's say, hypothetically, the Celtics don't flip their young guys for a veteran. Whether that veteran's AD or KD, whoever the veteran is, let's say they roll back next year and they bring back their young core. Now you've got three first-round picks this year. I think it's 14, 20, and 22. You know, yeah. These guys have guaranteed contracts. How is Brad Stevens going to keep a winning product on the floor while grooming three more young players alongside Brown and Tatum? And let's not forget about the rookie center, Robert Williams, that he's typically, when you look at Brad Stevens' history, it's year two where guys start to get elevated. And we haven't even talked about, you know, Shemi or Yabusele, who have got guaranteed deals next year. How do they win games and babysit at the same time all these young players?
I mean, I don't really see it being a massive problem, especially if Al comes back. I mean, you know, personally, I'd rather just keep Terry. And, you know, when you think about it, we could actually field pretty much an outstanding team next season. That would pretty much be a very close copy of the team that almost made it to the NBA Finals, except much more seasoned versions of Rozier, Smart, you know, Brown, Tatum. And, you know what I'm saying? They'd be better.
And I think Hayward thrives in that role.
Gordon Hayward.
You put him in that team that played 2 years ago that almost went to the finals, where they're moving without the ball, where it's still pace and space, and the best shot is the open shot, and everything that defines a Brad Stevens offense. If you put a healthy Hayward in that offense as opposed to the isolation offense the Celtics got stuck playing this year, you're going to see a different version of that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is one of these things. Like, one of the key things is no Kyrie. That's 18 shots that go to other people.
Yep.
Right off the bat. And no Marcus Morris. Nothing personal against Marcus Morris, but I don't want him back because he's just going to get in Gordon's way. He's going to get in other people's way. He's a good player, but I want those 30 shots to get respread back around the team. And you know what? You could bring these kids in, and you know what? This is going to be a nice draft for bigs and combo guards, which is what we actually need. And, you know, Euro bigs, you know, that's kind of the secret hidden thing or open secret about the NBA is a lot of the best big men in the league are actually from Europe, right, or overseas.
Yep.
And they are oftentimes getting drafted in the middle to the bottom of the first round or even in the second round.
No, you're right about that. And Danny's actually had scouts over there this year. Mike, I'm up against it. I appreciate it. And this is going to drive you crazy, and I wanted to tell you this, Mike, while you're on the phone. But I didn't want to get yelled at, quite frankly. I'm tired. It's been a long night. And sometimes we get emotional here. But I heard from a source, and I don't know how reliable it is, but I heard from a source, and I think it's worth reporting because this guy's right more often than he's wrong, that the Celtics, not only are they interested in bringing Marcus Morris back, they want to bring Markieff in here too. They want to do what the Suns tried to do a couple of years ago and have both Morrises here next year. They like Markieff. They think he brings a different dynamic to the floor, and they want to keep Marcus Morris happy. And by having his twin brother here, they keep him happy. I don't know if I like that idea, having two Morrises and not one on this basketball team, but that's at least being discussed within the Celtics leadership circles right now. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's grab one more here. Let's go to Dave. Dave's in Florida. Dave, you next up here on WEI.
Hey,
What's happening, David?
You know, I get nauseous when I hear any basketball talk nowadays. It's just, it's nauseating. It's not enjoyable for me watching this current brand of. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a distant relative. It's like this current brand of basketball is like Australopithecus to the current brand of human beings.
David, is it just the Celtics or the NBA in general?
You know, it's NBA. I don't even want to call it NBA. I mean, I want to call it like Neanderthal ball or just selfish. And they should change it to the league of selfish, entitled, petulant basketball players. And they're disgraceful. Steph Curry is a punk.
Let's agree to disagree. I love the NBA. I always have. It's my number one sport. And I grew up in the 80s. Like I know the difference in the game.
Exactly.
But I still love it.
Vomit. Here's an interesting statement for you.
What do you got?
Interestingly, maybe the best player in the history of the game, if you want to think that Jordan was the best player in the history of the game, was the worst thing that happened for the NBA. Because, give me a second to explain this, and it's interesting, because everybody who's playing now grew up watching Michael play, and they all want to be the next Michael Jordan. But what they fail to realize and respect is that Jordan, underneath his incredible athleticism, had terrific fundamentals. But these guys don't know how to pass, play help side defense. All they do is want to get to the rim. So all they do is either shoot threes or shot fake one dribble dunk. It's disgraceful. And it makes me want to vomit. And anybody who gets a paycheck playing NBA right now, you're not an athlete. You're a selfish basketball whore.
So you waited on hold for a half an hour to tell me how much you hate the NBA. Do you feel better? Yeah. Do you feel better about this now, Dave?
Yeah, now I can go to bed. But beyond that, you know, but the reason why I called, I mean, Orlando Arroyo, that was the guy's name, the pitcher in the 90s who played for the Red Sox and the Rockies. See if you can name 10 players who played for the Rockies and the Red Sox.
I'll see what I can do. Listen, I appreciate the phone call. I'm up against it here. I would like to be like Mike. David doesn't want to be like Mike. What a great song. It's the greatest marketing campaign ever. Just now, this is your cue to turn it up, and I'm going to say goodbye, and I'll be back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.